regardless of what's happening, regardless of how well your videos or your graphics or being creative or leadership is going. How are you doing in your well done, good and faithful servant?
Welcome to the Advanced Leadership Podcast, accelerating your growth as a leader.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Advanced Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Vance Martin. Today is a pretty cool day. I've got a great guest on, a dear friend of mine who I've known for a really long time. And I think he's going to help us. Have you ever been in a leadership situation where you felt overwhelmed, where you felt stuck, you didn't know what to do, you didn't know how to move forward, and you just find yourself spinning your wheels? Well, today, Kelvin Coe is going to help us unpack some principles in being creative. Now, you might think, what does creativity have anything to do with problem solving? Well, I would submit this to you, that when you're in a problem, it takes creativity to get yourself out. And so what Kelvin is going to share with us today, I think it's going to help you and inspire you as you are trying to figure out this new normal, the new way of doing church, the new way of viewing how we minister, how my role as a pastor, my role as a leader, my role as a leader of a nonprofit, it's all changed. And so we have to have a new perspective. And what are the value system of that new perspective? How should we see the world? So this is going to be awesome. Tune in, grab something to take some notes unless you're driving. We're going to jump into the interview now. This is Kelvin Coe. He's the creative arts pastor at Oaks Church in Red Oak, Texas, which is just south of Dallas. In fact, Kelvin and I were on staff together there several years ago, and that's how he and I got connected. But this is a wise man who's going to deliver some amazing leadership principles for us. Let's jump right into the interview with Kelvin Coe. Well, welcome everybody. Today I have a very special guest, somebody that has been a longtime friend of mine, somebody who I've learned a ton from. And I thought when I'm starting a podcast, I got to get this guy on because, well, he's just so smart and has a lot to share. So today I am pleased to introduce to you a good friend of mine who I worked with in the past. This is Mr. Kelvin Coe. Kelvin, welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Vance. And let me start off also by saying you are a gift to the kingdom. I'm very excited about this podcast. You have served, helped the Big C Church in so many ways, and I'm excited to have a small contribution. I get to play in you expanding your voice, expanding your impact on the kingdom.
Thanks, Kelvin. I appreciate that, man.
Of course.
Why don't you really quickly just to, you know, I think everybody by now knows what the topic is. They probably see it in the title. We're talking about principles of creativity. Give everybody just a snippet of, hey, why should we even pay attention to Kelvin and his ideas about creativity? You are a master at this, but tell everybody what you do and where you serve right now.
Oh boy, I have had the privilege of doing what I do in terms of production, creativity for about 30 years now. I'm an old man. I know
you started when you were five.
Thank you. I've done TV, radio, theater, production. So for 30 years of doing some type of creative production work, you know, and 20 of those years have been in ministry, church. Yeah. I've been the creative arts pastor here at Oaks Church in the Dallas area for the last 14 years.
It been 14 years?
It has been.
Wow. Yes. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
The saying the words 14 years elevates the sentiment of how much I miss you.
Yes, I know.
and it's a lot.
Kelvin and I worked together. So I was on staff. I was the children's pastor at Oaks Church. Kelvin, can you believe that it's been this year marks my 10-year anniversary that I've left 10 years ago?
Can you believe,
is that not wild?
Here's something else that's wilder. Podcast audience, Vance was my son's kids pastor.
Yeah.
He was my son's pastor all the way up to his fifth grade before he transitioned to youth. And in 2 weeks, my wife and I send him off to college.
This is not right, Kelvin. Yeah. It's not right. Well, thinking back to those days long, long ago, there are so many things that I learned from you then that really is what brought you to mind. You had one of the things I think that you are so gifted at is the marriage of art and science. I think there's so many people that are artistic, they can create things, but they also, sometimes they struggle with the process. And so for our listeners today, my guess is, you know, we're recording this in late July, 2020, you know, we're in I hesitate to say post-COVID, but middle COVID, the church has changed. There's a new BC before COVID where there, you know, a split in time. And now we're having to rethink ministry completely, how we approach adult ministry, family ministry, children's ministry, student ministry, everything has changed. And so for our listeners out there who are forced into a posture of creating something new because the old doesn't work, I'd love for you to share with us what are maybe some guiding principles that help bring some process, strategy to creation and creating art, creating something new.
You ready? All right.
I'm ready. Let's do this.
I was not exempt from getting completely destroyed and rattled when, you know, Corona hit.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful, extremely grateful for the timing of this powerful revelation from the Lord. Literally a couple of months going into Corona, which of course at that time I had no idea.
Nobody right? did. Bizarro world.
So Matthew 9:16-17 says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskin.
If yes.
The skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. That has always been one of my favorite verses to use as a creative.
Right. Yes. It's biblical, guys. We can't do this like this anymore.
2 months before COVID hit was the first time God got my attention with that verse on the last phrase. And both are preserved.
Mm, yeah.
I'm always like, yes, I'm going to use this verse. I'm always excited about, all right, let's dominate the new. So what does that have to do with the answer to your question coming into this? Figuring out, so why that came up for me was even before COVID hit, I was working on a project that I call, you know, we were calling 167, right? Before Corona hit, we all knew frequency of church attendance has been declining. Right?
Yes.
We know that there's 168 hours to a week.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming people attended church once a week, let's just say an hour, right? So we have 1 hour out of 168 hours a week to invest into someone's life and help them
right.
with Jesus. What about 167 hours of the week?
Yeah. Well, we wonder why are people walking away from their faith when we're putting all of our stock in that 1 hour and expecting that to be good enough.
Yeah. So I was very excited about that project because look, to continue that, you know, the reality of it is If frequency of church attendance is on a decline, they're not attending once a week. If they're attending once every 3 weeks or a month, then the ratio is more like one to, not 1 to 167, but more like 1 to 400, 500. Right. So I bring that up just to go, oh my gosh, we need to innovate. How do we have, so that we started a project called 167. How do we help people win 167 through Jesus, 167 hours of the week, if Sunday was no longer a viable option? That was what this was, because I started swinging all the way to the other side of the pendulum. Let's figure out online. People are not going to come to church anymore, blah, 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 and all of that. And this verse punched me in the gut, in the heart, in the brain, like, it's new wineskin and old wineskin have their places.
Right.
And both need to be preserved. So on the somewhat practical, somewhat philosophical side of it is I had to go back to my roots and anchor myself to how did I do, how, what are my principles as a creative for me to not go nuts over trying to figure out. And this helped me when we went into Corona, and helped me now figure out as we're normalizing coming back to church and how to balance that in any context. So my creative philosophy, if you will, is anchored in the acronym SCAT, SCAT.
Okay, and, okay.
The first, the, so S is stands for spiritual. It's spiritual leadership, creative leadership, artistic leadership, and technical leadership. Spiritual leadership, anchor. That is the most important anchor. Let's be honest. Vance, as a fellow creative, come on. If we really want to tell stories and make films, it is way cooler, way, way cooler to do it in Hollywood and the advertising agency, right? They do cooler stuff.
They have a lot better budget, that's for sure.
Yes. And, you know, but we were called and we were, we responded to that call to serve Christ's bride. If I am not solid in my spiritual foundation, hearing from the Lord with fresh revelation, memorizing scripture consistently, spending time getting to know my Heavenly Father more intimately every day, not attending services regularly, just by, you know what it's like?
Yeah.
Every week, I'm at church, I'm in the control booth, or I'm at front of house behind the sound console, but I'm checked out, and I'm chattering with the tech and not engage.
You can get so trapped in your relationship being what you're doing for God instead of being with God.
Yes. Right. Then producing art is not targeted to the right thing anymore.
Right.
My heart is not overflowing with a fresh revelation from God. Now, one of the ways that that helped me galvanize that thought was one time I was teaching a class with my senior pastor, and I was floored by the way he introduced me to the class. Kelvin is our creative arts pastor, and he co-preaches the message with me every week.
Wow.
That was more than high praise to me. That was profound.
Yeah.
I see the depth and level of his spiritual leadership. Of course, he's the preacher. He needs to he needs to be studying. He needs to be reading the Bible. If I'm to co-preach the message with him, I need to carry the same level of spiritual leadership and spiritual depth and fervor and leadership. Forget that we need to do that because we're Christ followers, duh. But more so as a creative ministry leader, right? Now, moving on to C, I'm going to hit C and A at the same time. I've intentionally separated, Vance, the words creative and artistic, because the word creative I have found have been irresponsibly been, what's the word, butchered, muddied, right? Oh, somebody does PowerPoint. Oh, he's creative. Somebody, you know, but so like when I'm
are you saying that PowerPoint isn't creative, Kelvin? Is that what you're inferring?
Yeah. Oh, there was no inference. there was no wink, wink, hint, hint there. Here's another way of explaining it. One of the ways I look at people when you know, volunteers or interns or applicants is this person more geek or artist? I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It helps me know the type, right? There are types because I find most people in ministry who end up doing creative stuff is they tend to be geeks. They're good at pushing buttons. They're good at fixing stuff. Oh, because you run PowerPoint. Here we go, picking on PowerPoint again. You must be good at graphics.
Right.
So I've learned that, you know, to cultivate that, I have to be intentional. So I separate those two words out, right? So this is how I separate it out. For me, when I lead or when I discipline myself, I separate it out by defining being creative as making things better.
Okay.
To be creative means making things better. To be artistic means making things more beautiful. Therefore, creative is about problem solving. Is about strategy, right? That's a very important skill, right? I'm not saying one person's one or the other. I'm saying these are skill sets that need to be
It's a different approach.
Developed, right? And then so I can be one person, but if I'm intentional in developing both and working both, then the art that we produce is more potent. So it's not just, I like it and it has this vibe. What is it? What problem is the art strategically solving? Right? I'm going to use my artistic skills to make a beautiful video, beautifully composed shots, powerful, compelling storytelling. But creative leadership, if I'm intentional with that, then what is this supposed to accomplish? Marrying both. Oh, absolutely powerful. And then letter T is technical leadership, especially nowadays, especially as all churches learned in COVID, we cannot meet in person anymore. Technology just became super top priority. If you were ahead or behind, you knew very clearly.
Oh yeah, you felt it.
We're at the mercy of technology. Every art form, music, visuals, now it just requires a command of the technology. You don't have to be like a coder, if you will, or be able to build an amplifier or, but we have no choice around that. So the foundation of those four things, right, help in, as an artist, as a creative, right, stay anchored, old wineskin. Stay anchored in old wineskin.
That's good. Yeah.
Preserve it. That's the foundation for creating the new. We are all needing to figure out how to do ministry anew.
Yeah.
Right? It's no longer for those of us who are back on campus, up physical brick and mortar, we're now needing to figure out how to do both because attendance is down to 15, 20%, 30%. Which means most of our congregation is still online. How do we do that? We need to get
how do you meet both needs effectively?
Creative, artistic. So we're needing to figure out how to preserve both.
You know, one of the things that I found in the creative process. We're usually when we have to create or make something new, it's because we're facing a problem. COVID is a great instance of this where, okay, we have a massive problem ahead of us. And as a creative, whether you're a leader, you have to create your way out of this because the old doesn't work. How do you combat that initial sense of being overwhelmed with a problem, and how do you begin to untangle all the knots to begin to know where do I begin creating? Where do I begin strategizing? And, is it the spiritual? Is it the creative? Is it none of these at all? How do you kind of stop from being overwhelmed and paralyzed and untangle it and take one issue and problem at a time?
The most foundational, to continue the scripture anchor that we're using, the most foundational old wineskin piece, regardless of Corona, not Corona, 1500s, 1800s, 2000s, has not changed.
Right.
More and better disciples, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's still about evangelism. It's still about winning souls. It's still about taking those new believers and strengthening them in their relationship with Jesus. That is still always my go-to. When I'm rattled, when I'm freaking out. Oh, the mandate, the commission never changes. Regardless of our cool vision statement and all that, it has not changed. From 5,000 every week to when we open up again, 600 people came. Doesn't matter. Is it disheartening? Am I completely, you know, like, what just happened to my reality? You betcha, yes.
Yeah.
So step one, the mandate has not changed. Mm-hmm. I still need every week, it's still about how can we win souls? How can we pour into people? And then step two is, all right, I need to frame the right questions around the new context.
Yes.
Who's my audience? What's their context? How are they doing life now? How are they devouring content, consuming content now?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's not allowed? What's allowed? Right? So obviously, during those weeks that we couldn't meet in person, obviously the computer, the smart TV, online was the questions. All right. So define what the givens are and now ask the right questions and then start. I call it, I think this was one of our conversations from you know, many years ago, is I call it, I need to know what the size of my canvas is.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. If my canvas is 50 foot wide and 200 feet tall, well, that poses its own problems. If my canvas size is 1 inch by 1 inch, that now that I know, it, you know, obviously that's a painting metaphor. Canvas size includes people, time, manpower, context, and all of that. As soon as I know, see, most artists that I know, the good ones, wink, wink. hey, as soon as they know the scope, it's like, here we go.
Let's get a vision.
Yeah, this is where C and A comes into gear. All right, creative leadership, kick into gear. Now that I know the problem, now that I know the tools that I have to work with, I'm going to solve the problem within my givens.
Yes.
And then once I have the key solutions, then the artist kicks in. Now let's make this as sexy as possible.
Yeah, let's do this. Make it beautiful.
Yeah.
One of the things you just hit on is another thing that I think you are so good at, Kelvin, and I'd love to see if you can unpack this for us, but the art of asking a question.
Okay.
You know, how do you, you know, that why, and there's several layers. There's I've been around you enough to know it's almost as if you have a layering of question. One question gives you some, but then there's another deeper level of question. How do you approach, whether it's a problem or trying to, you know, I know you've done this for me, when I'm feeling like, okay, here's what I want to accomplish, and you step into a room, and just by asking the right set of questions can help unlock where we need to go. So sometimes it's not even, I've seen you do it where it's not even you leading, it's you supporting a leader, unpacking and asking the right questions to help bring that clarity. So what is your process about, you know, asking a question, and how do you form the right question to ask?
Okay. Two-part answer, right? This is a leadership podcast. So we as leaders, asking questions is really not that hard.
Yeah.
Like, just automatically know what the right questions are right away. What's the goal? Who's the target audience? And all of that. What I've learned over, first part answer is, trust your leadership instincts. to ask the goal-oriented questions, right? As leaders, I'm making an assumption here, and also in the interest of time, I'm making an assumption that leaders are goal-oriented. And once you ask the goal question, the following questions will you know.
End in mind? What's our target? And we can back out from there.
Yeah. Now, here's a, if I may, a secret sauce thing that I've discovered. The end in mind and all of that, that's just my perspective. I've trained myself over the last several years to ask a different perspective of questions. I call it being the user's advocate. If I was, if who's my target audience? Let's just say a 35-year-old male who, I'll make something up right now, who is afraid, whose job just, you know, who just got furloughed. So what do I want him to do? I want him to tune in, you know, watch and then respond.
Yeah.
Now, if I was him, how do I feel? I do my best now to be the user's advocate. You know, sometimes I explain it this way. I'm like Jekyll and Hyde, right? I'm Jekyll and Hyde. I'm Dr. Jekyll. I ask the right, smart, intelligent leadership questions. Okay, I'm done with that. I got the questions, you know, written down. Chances are, because I'm Dr. Jekyll and I'm a leader, coming up with the answers to those questions isn't that hard.
Yeah.
I like using the Jekyll and Hyde because what's Hyde like? Nuts! Defies all the rules. That's the reality of it.
Right.
Right? He can click off anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He's probably just thumbing through. Probably got bored. Or I think he's watching, but he's actually in the bathroom or in the kitchen making a sandwich.
Right.
Not paying attention. You know, so I found that the most powerful questions are shaped by marrying the Dr. Jekyll, me as a leader. These are the wise questions to ask. And then I go nuts on the other side. If I was the user, how am I feeling? What do I need? What do I want?
Yeah.
What will it take? Why would I care?
Right.
Sadly, most of the answers to the question of why would I care, and then looking at the answers I came up with as Dr. Jekyll, are I actually don't care about those things.
Right.
And they tend to be very revealing. That I found to be an important habit and discipline to protect me from myself and keep myself honest, especially because I'm a leader and I think I'm wise. And then when I go Mr. Hyde on myself and I'm like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times we get caught in a leadership bubble and we get so enthralled in this new idea or this new approach that we even forget that it's not about us because it is so personal.
Yes.
And it's, but how, who we're affecting, it's not us. It's not about us. And it goes back to what you said earlier. This is about building disciples of Christ and keep them in mind, the user in mind, who our audience is. That's fascinating. Kelvin, as we kind of wrap things up, what would be a one thought of encouragement, inspiration for a leader out there that is facing some uncertainty, change, probably a season that has been obviously uncomfortable and challenging and in even unknowns that lie ahead? What encouragement would you give our leaders out there?
It is so easy to look at what we do and go, oh yeah, I'm doing kingdom work and this is ministry and this is all of that. The encouragement I would share is this. Imagine the day that you're eyeball to eyeball with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to imagine Jesus going, Vance, woo! That video that you edited for Easter 2012? Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Whoa. Oh,
dude.
This is a job, like, for those of you who are quote-unquote professional Christians who work for the church or ministry. It's a job. Our responsibility to Jesus is to do our job well, whether it's in accounting or headhunting, staffing, or church or nonprofit. We need to represent him well.
Yeah.
But regardless of what's happening, regardless of how well your videos or your graphics or being creative or leadership is going, how are you doing in your well done, good and faithful servant?
Yeah.
Personally, please do not ever, ever, ever lose sight of that.
Yeah, that's powerful. Keeps us grounded. And internal, it's really what you're talking about. That's having an internal perspective. This is not this, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the finite in this world, but we are living for another world, another reality. And we're planning on, the whole goal is taking as many people as we can with us. Yeah. Kelvin, this has been insightful and exciting and fun. You blew my mind. I knew you would. If people out there want to follow you, learn more about you, how can they social media stalk you or find out more about what you're doing and just more about you? How can people get in touch with you?
Kelvin Co on Instagram.
Kelvin Co on Instagram. All right. Thank you so much, Kelvin. Thank you for your time. This has been invaluable and I know it's been helpful. Thanks everybody for listening and we'll catch you next time. Wow. That was some good stuff from Kelvin. I am not surprised. I feel like we just scratched the surface with Kelvin. I think we probably need to have him back on the podcast, and we're going to do that. I'm going to have him back. You will not want to miss the next episode. Next episode, I'm going to be sitting down with Jim Weidman, who is legendary in the children's family ministry, student ministry space, and we talk about leaving a legacy. And so that's going to be amazing. Tune in for that one. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, and that is advance_podcast. Also, check out the Facebook page. We're going to be looking at maybe starting a place where you can ask questions and we'll maybe answer some questions. But thank you for joining us for the Advance Leadership Podcast, accelerating your growth as a leader.